webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is hump day, Wednesday, September 21st, 2011, the only first day of fall, and the second day, second webcast, actually, of the Start of Fall Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution 2011, Eva. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen around the planet, for this here effort known as the Gospel Revolution. Glad to have you along for the ride wherever you are logging on to. Want to straight away thank Sean O'Halloran for the coaster that he just gave me because, frankly, I needed it. And we need you as well to give us a call tonight. We're going to be talking about the financial needs of the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries as we progress on this 90-minute excursion into all things gospel. Give us a call at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. That is the toll-free number in the great nation of Canada and the United States of America. 800-436-3260, the aforementioned and very handsome Sean O'Halloran in his Abercrombie and Fitch outfit tonight, waiting to take your call here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit studio. If you're listening live and it is just after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., and you're around the world anywhere, you can call us as well at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And now, calling in at 281, and I better not give the home office number. I shall not. But we will go to the home office of the Gospel Revolution, the president, the founder, the unteacher, the grand poobah, the false Christ of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome online Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Glenn.
Michael.
Good evening.
Oh, you forced a non-Bela Lugosi good evening.
Well, you know, sometimes people need a little break. Maybe I can do Lucy.
That's not Lucy. You're doing Ricky Ricardo.
That's Ricky. That's right.
No. Well, all right. So let's hear your Ricky Ricardo impression.
Let's see. Lucy, what are you doing?
That was weak. That was very
that was
weak.
Very weak.
To stick with the vampire impression. We already have callers, and we want to hear from you guys tonight. Please give us a call early and often. It's all about you on the webcast. We have so much to talk about tonight. And we're very excited. We've got a lot of emails. We've got a lot of contributors. Our goal here, folks, over these 21 days at the start of fall here, and it is ironically and coincidentally and appropriately, this is actually the first day of autumn 2011, the start of fall pledge drive. We're trying to raise $500 in new or increased monthly pledges. And we've heard from some new folks, which is exciting. And you think $500, I mean, how in the world can you guys be asking for such a minuscule amount? The reason that we do is because we have a rational, vital, logical, mental disposition. That's why. We know what is reasonable, and we know what our budget is, and the budget just, it keeps the thing going. And we've been plugging along here with the webcast for, it's going to be 6 years next month, believe it or not. We're going to have a big old celebration, in the first weekend of October. And the Gospel Revolution itself has been going on for 20 plus years, as Michael traveled around the world. but we need your financial help. And so here's what we do. For gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift or totaling $100 or more in the monthly increased or new pledges, you receive free and postage paid our thank you gift, which is Michael's single CD from the Calgary Conference, the Grace Conferences, this last summer, called The Mystery of Unbelief. And that teaching is beyond belief, frankly. We talked about that last week, but Michael, give the beautiful humans an idea of what the teaching's about and what the reaction of the folks in Calgary was when you taught it.
Well, of course, the folks in Calgary have been coming back for years and years, decade and more, all of them, the ones that attend there for the most part. And when I went up this this last time and did the Mystery of Unbelief, it was, I have to say, I definitely had their attention. You know, you get to a point where you, with the understanding of the gospel, it's so grand, it's so wonderful, it almost comes to a point to where that you feel like you've covered the major issues. And there, we covered another really major issue. And it really was. When you deal with the issue of unbelief, Christianity deals with it as that which will lead you into separation from God, when the mystery of unbelief is actually that our unbelief led us into relationship with God.
Well, actually, not only that it will lead you into separation with God, but it is an evidence that you are separated from God. And if you personally do not rectify that situation, you will be separated from God for eternity. Not only just separated from that perfect joy and that perfect peace and that perfect love, but in a universal and eternal torment that goes on without end.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So it really was amazing. I was amazed by the teaching myself, and the clarity of it, and it was so succinct and so logical. And the revelation of unbelief just was a major, major thing. And it really, when you capitalize on, God capitalized on man's unbelief. He banked on our unbelief. He did not bank on our faith. He did require our faith. It's kind of like the way the markets did with the housing industry. They bought up the mortgages and then bet that they would fail. And that's what God did. You know, he bought it all up and then he put his money on the fact that we would fail.
Actually, he had no doubt that we would fail.
Absolutely. We knew that we would fail.
We were designed to fail, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of being human.
That is such a beautiful understanding for all you beautiful humans. Is that
the one thing that is not part of being human is having faith. That's not a human attribute. Believing and having faith is not a human attribute. And that is what was required of us, is something that is absolutely not human. Believing something we can't see is not a human attribute at all. And people who say that that is true just have never come to grips with the reality that, the power of our redemption came through our unbelief, the absolute fact that God required something of us that we don't have, secured our redemption.
You know, the concept and the understanding that we were predestined. We were predestined, folks, to not believe. We had no choice in the matter.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Yeshua said, no, excuse me, I think it was Isaiah said.
Isaiah.
Yeah. What is the direct quote about that we should be...
It says that God would blind our eyes.
Blind our eyes.
And, well, blind their eyes, anyway. And blind their eyes. Of course, this is all fulfilled. This is no longer true for us. Our eyes are no longer blinded. The mystery of the gospel and the mystery of unbelief has been revealed to us. But the prophet said, and it's quoted in John, of course, the book where that belief and faith is required repeatedly and most persistently and consistently of any of the gospels. And then John quotes Isaiah and says, but none of them believed because Isaiah prophesied that God would blind their eyes and stop their ears, yet if in just in case hearing and seeing that they might understand and be converted. So the problem was that somebody might be converted by what they believed. That was the problem. So Isaiah said, you know what? We're just going to get the Holy Ghost involved here. We're going to predestine all to be blinded and nobody to understand, nobody to believe, nobody to have faith, because that is the point that all of the burden of redemption would shift onto God himself.
Do you guys understand that if one person, just one, would have believed prior to the execution of Christ, he would not have had to go to the cross.
If one believed, all were doomed.
Wow. That's deep, bro. I mean, you know, we have some examples where there was some affirmation from Yeshua towards people about their particular stance at that moment. Like the Roman centurion, the woman at the well,
right.
The Samaritan woman, but it wasn't, that was not good enough. The only people that Yeshua reached out with compassion, if you will, in his teaching prior to the cross were Gentiles. Why? Because he understood, as we should understand now, that what the Jewish people needed, who were under the law at the time, was to have the law taught to them the way it was intended to bring them to ultimate and complete hopelessness and complete condemnation. And when Yeshua taught Michael that you needed to cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, give everything away to the poor, in order to inherit eternal life and to believe, it worked. Because on the day of the cross, at the place of the skull, Golgotha. I've been editing Michael's book, and I'm right in the place of Golgotha right now. I'm right at that place of the skull. It's beautiful. As an aside, I called Michael the other day because I had Michael's video that's on the homepage of the Gospel Revolution on the fruits of self-righteousness going on in the background as I was editing his book. It's coming. Just be patient with us. Be patient with me. I called Michael, and Mikey, I said, I've overdosed on the gospel. I did. I mainlined the gospel. It was about, I was coming out of my skin. It was a little bit more than I could handle.
Yeah.
But,
and you know,
go ahead.
Glenn, I was wanting to follow up on this because I started seeing something I don't think I've seen before. You know, Jesus did say that the Samaritan woman believed. He said that the centurion believed. The other centurion woman who came to him believed and had great faith. But I just realized the ones who had to believe were the Jews. The ones who were blinded were the Jews, because they were the ones to whom were given the law, and all of the prophecies were to them. So the only ones who could have had faith to change the situation would have been the Jews. No matter how many Gentiles Gentiles believed, which we have the account that they did, but that would have not been applicable to the salvation of the world because the Jews were playing out, the Jewish community and the nation of Israel was the one playing out this role. And they were the ones that the prophet, of course, was always talking about Jesus and the representatives on that stage, which was Israel. So the ones who had to be blinded would have been the nation of Israel, not the entire world.
So what I said was not applicable. Well, let's take a look at that for a second.
See, I just saw that, because I've said the same thing you've said, knowing as you were saying it, I realized, yes, they did. I realized that it was because you specifically mentioned the Samaritan and the centurion. And the ones that you mentioned and all that I can remember that Jesus said had great faith, they were not Jewish people. And so I really do believe that we have to look at this in the context of those on the stage, those in the play. The Samaritans were not on the stage. They weren't in the play. The centurion was not on the stage, was not in the play. The ones that had to carry out this entire process and were destined to unbelief were the Jewish people. And because of unbelief of the nation of Israel, which was predestined unto them, then the entire world received this righteousness.
Wow. Well, when you think about it, I mean, the command to believe, the command to follow the law, was only to Israel.
It was only to Israel. So the command to have faith and obey, when Jesus, when he was talking about having faith and obeying, he could have only been talking to the Jews. He said that he'd come to the lost house of Israel.
Yes.
That's who his message was to, and that just dawned on me as we were speaking about this, that this, because I've had people in the past to point out, yeah, but it says so-and-so believed and so-and-so believed, but all of those that I can account for before, they were all Gentiles, and it would have been the Jewish community that would have had to have been blinded because it was to them that were given the promises of the covenant. And to fulfill these things, which were designed to fail at all the way through.
Right.
So it would have only been the nation of Israel that was designed to fail, as was the 12 disciples predestined to fail, all representing the Jewish representation of the plan of God. And I just realized that. So I'm
well, folks, you have now had a sneak preview into what phone conversations are like with Michael and Glenn. So that's a beautiful thing. Jeff emailed me, and as not only is his privilege, but also his role to correct me, the thank you gift for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift or over the course of a year in a monthly pledge, new or increased monthly pledges of $100 or more, is not a single CD. It is a 6-CD series. So my apologies.
Oh, wow.
For state. Yeah, you didn't even realize that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so that's 6 CDs on the mystery of unbelief. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's night number 2, actually, night number 7 of the Start of Fall Pledge Drive, but the second webcast where we appeal to you. We go 30 minutes over at least, because we realize we do talk some about our financial needs. Normally we don't at all. And although we usually go over 60 minutes, we add an extra 30 minutes to these 3 webcasts to get plenty of gospel in as we talk about our financial needs as well. And so we need your help tonight, and we'll be talking about that throughout the program. So please join us, and you can always email us as well at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. The email box at webcast was full and needed to be cleansed. And our dear brother and friend, and he has been with us for a long time, Tim Pruitt, our webmaster, has cleared out that mailbox. So for those of you guys that got emails kicked back saying the mailbox was full, it was full. It is not full any longer. So please email us as well at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And now, without any further ado, let us go to the maestro of the Gospel Revolution, our senior correspondent from Cincinnati, Ohio, the very talented and lovely Greg Amberge. Gregory!
I'm lovely?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I got the CD series this a couple days ago.
Whoa. You just made your pledge last week.
I haven't even sent my money in yet.
Bruh, do you understand that before Jeff Robertson came on board, people waited for months and months and months. You haven't even sent your money in and you already got the series?
I know. I've already listened to 2.5 of the CDs. And I found myself frustrated that my customers kept calling me and interrupting the teaching, because Mike did a thing where I think I know what's coming, but I'm not quite sure. He said, of course, he's teaching through the book of John in this series, and he's, you know, the book of John is where we hear more about faith than any other book in the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, because there's so much in there about you have to believe, you have to believe, you have to believe. And Mike said, well, let's go to the back of the book and find out what's actually being said here. Because you remember when we used to read the Bible through and we'd do like 3 chapters a day and, you know, 3 chapters of the Old Testament and 2 of the New or something, and it gets you through it in a year. We would have never picked this up because it would have been like over a period of 3 weeks that we got through the book of John, that what was happening at the end, and I don't want to give this away, and I haven't actually heard Mike say it yet, but I think I know what's coming, that it was proven that nobody had faith. All through the whole book, he's saying, you've got to believe, you've got to have faith, you've got to believe, you've got to have faith. And we get down to the end, and he's at the cross, and nobody has faith. And yeah. And Christianity has based its whole premise on the fact that you must believe in order to be saved. And it's exactly the opposite.
It's very true. Unbelief is what brought us into redemption. It was not faith. It was our unbelief. And that is the most amazing thing, Greg, that I think I've ever observed about the gospel among its many, many amazing fractals of understanding that we have. But that whole issue really is so very powerful, and the conclusion of unbelief. And I think the freest, one of the biggest things for me was I was freed from sin. I remember when I stopped confessing sin. But I tell you, it was tantamount only to the day that I stopped trying to have faith.
Yeah.
Because I don't got it.
Well, for those of us that came out of the Word of Faith movement, which I did, you look back at the exercise in futility that was the Word of Faith movement, and I still have several friends who are, you know, clinging to that sort of, sort of desperately now, that Word of Faith type thing, and it's just so sad because I remember what it was like to be frustrated and to feel the guilt over not having. I'll give you one quick story. When I was a little kid and we first started listening to Kenneth Hagin, my parents did it. This is before even Kenneth Copeland had come on the scene. I was wearing glasses, and I wanted to be healed. I wanted my eyesight to be perfect. I was probably 10, 12 years old. And I remember the guilt that I felt because I couldn't muster up enough faith to be healed.
Yeah.
And, wow, I mean, just how freeing it is to understand that, the faith of God is our redemption, not our faith.
Yes. And you remember, Greg, they also told us that the lesser of the miracles was healing, and the greatest miracle was salvation. And
we all had a hard time believing for that, too.
do you remember thinking, my God, if I can't get healed, how can I be saved?
Yeah.
That was my conclusion.
I'll say one more thing before I go and let somebody else get on here. I remember.
Well, hold on, but don't hang up. Okay.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
But I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin preaching one time about how God had called him into the ministry and said, "Teach my people faith." Do you remember that?
Sure.
Yeah.
That was his calling into the ministry.
Right, that's their logo, the shield of faith. And it was just, what a cheesy logo, but that was their logo.
But it was teach my people faith. And I don't really doubt that happened now, because I think that the teaching of the Word of Faith movement was so debilitating to the human spirit that it brought us to the point where we could say it doesn't work, or as Mike says, it don't work.
No. Greg, do it like Mike actually.
It don't work.
Thank you.
Because it is debilitating.
You can't do Bela Lugosi either.
No, Bela Lugosi. That's kind of like a Southern thing happening. It's like a Tennessee. It don't work.
So I'm all believing that God actually told Kenneth Hagin to teach his people faith so that we could get to the point where we were so frustrated we had to come into the understanding that it wasn't.
Where's
our
all
faith
these toilet flushes coming from? I'm sorry.
No, nobody's hearing that but you, Michael.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But thank you for sharing. No, but
it's like, oh my God. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing, is that maybe God did want Kenneth Hagin to teach faith.
Was my point.
But not the faith for man, but the faith of Christ.
Yeah.
And he just screwed it up big time. God, did he screw it up. That is one messed up situation in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I'll tell you that right now. One of the beautiful things about the Gospel Revolution, there's so many beautiful things, but one of the greatest things are the relationships that are built that get manifested on the webcast, at the Gospel Revolution conventions in Houston and Calgary, the summit that we just had in Houston, the summit that we're going to have in Tampa. And Greg had an encounter with our next caller online at the first Gospel Revolution convention in Houston back in 2008. Please welcome online now the King of Comedy, the senior correspondent from SoCal, the very wonderful Richard Mull. Richard!
That's me, but today I'm the King of the Can.
Well, all right, I was just trying to avoid the whole discussion.
No, that was just background noise to get your attention over here, because I'm doing not too badly today, much better than yesterday, but it's been a real battle, and accidentally my phone got switched to speakerphone instead of just handheld. So the King of Can is here.
All right, King of Can, say hello to your buddy in Cincinnati.
Well,
Richard,
again, Greg, hello, and good to speak with you again. I was very lifted up and inspired by your call the other day. I think it was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Okay, I lose track of time here. You don't sleep, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. You never know, and I don't understand what being a vampire is, where you miss all that good daylight and all you do is spend time in darkness.
Yeah.
And I heard what you said about was it Kenneth Hagin about the faith thing?
Yes.
the vision or the voice or whatever he got that told him to teach faith. Yeah, I've known for years in my heart, and I, when, as soon as you said it, it just popped out. Yep. Yeah, teach him about faith. Well, the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ.
Yes.
And it just came to me quickly when I heard that, and I said, wow, that's powerful, because we can see all these things now, just like what Michael said about the Gentiles. The message about being blinded and deaf ears and eyes that can't see and all that good stuff was for the Jews. The Gentiles were under the law, so including them in unbelief didn't matter anyway. They could walk around and believe all day. Wouldn't make a difference, because the Jews were the target. They were the chosen ones. They were the ones that were included in unbelief.
You got that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I got that. I've known that for a short while, and I just tucked it inside and treasured it up and cherished it and held on to it and said, well, somebody else will say something like this one of these days.
See, you're supposed to teach me, Richard.
No, I don't want to be in the forefront. I don't want to be on the podium. I don't want to be in a teacup.
Let's watch it now.
Yeah, I just want to be complete dough. I've been three-quarter dough today, so I'm a quarter better than I was yesterday. But it's good to hear the voices of the people that I care about, and I want to say one thing, Glenn, Michael, Greg, for all those people, and Jeff, if you're listening, Jeff Robertson, somebody put out the word, and everybody's been attacking me with birthday cards. I have birthday cards coming out of my ears. I've got them everywhere. I could wallpaper my home with birthday cards.
Well,
I don't think I'd have any space left over, and it's great. I want to thank everybody out there that sent me a card who hasn't received an email from me, thanking them, and there's only one that I know of, and I don't have your email address. It's in Nova Scotia. It's Simone, Roy and Simone News. It's the Simone's mother, Louise. Can you remember her, Michael, when we were up there?
I do.
Yes, and we went over.
That's a trip Richard and I went on together, yeah.
Yes, and we visited with Simone's mother for a little while at that little place she had up the road there from Yarmouth, going out west from Yarmouth. Really a nice area. But
Yarmouth,
she sent me
Nova Scotia.
A beautiful birthday card. So
that's
thanks
awesome.
To everybody who's listening. And any more cards coming in, I'll be calling you, or I should say I'll be emailing you.
Well, Richard's birthday is September 24th, which is coming up here on Saturday, right?
Yeah, my brother's going to bring my folks down and deliver them here so I can have them here for a few hours before he has to take them back. So it's going to be nice. I haven't seen him in a couple of months. It's been impossible for me to get in a car and drive or even ride up there where they live, and so my older brother's going to take care of that. He's going to take care of younger brother here, and I appreciate it. It's a good gesture on his part.
That is a good thing.
Well, another beautiful human has his birthday on September 24th. That's my brother Steve.
Oh, that's a good name. So, I have a brother named Steve, too.
Yeah, well, you have a birthday buddy in Raleigh, North Carolina, and the producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire, Sean O'Halloran. His birthday is September 25th.
Well, he's a day younger or older than me. I mean, younger than me.
He is.
Well, we've got almost all those dates covered because Hazel Williams has a birthday on September the 23rd.
And Gracie Klein has a birthday on September 27th.
Oh my gosh, it's a September birthday month.
What was happening 9 months before September? Let's figure that out. No, maybe we won't. Greg, you still there?
I'm still there, yes.
You enjoying?
I really am, yes.
How was your time with Richard on the phone the other day?
I'll tell you, it was great, because to hear the, I heard a guy say this week that health is just the slowest rate at which you can die. And all of us are going to, at some point, face a battle similar to what Richard's facing now. And it is so encouraging to see somebody who understands the gospel to face this battle he's facing with such courage and such. It's different than most people I've known. that are facing something like this. Because it's there's just a piece that's really neat to listen to.
No, it's infectious, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Richard, so we thank you, and you know we don't believe in the 100% ironclad rule of you reap what you sow, as you know, Richard Moll.
I understand.
But a little less than, or a little over a month ago, you called with a poem for Michael's birthday. Remember?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, so for those of you guys who did not hear that, you'll want to listen to I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was the August 7th, no, 17th. Yeah, 17th, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Michael's birthday being the August 16th.
That's correct.
It was the day after Michael's birthday. Richard Moll with the Michael William birthday poem that I'm just going to call the Grand Poobah. So in honor of your birthday coming up here on Saturday the 24th, there once was a man named Mull. His humor, it never is dull. The revolution he loves from the Father above, the smiles he makes has no lull. That's for you, Dickie Mull.
That's great. I love that. You know,
was that Jackie Bernard that did that?
No, that's Glenn Klein.
I'm
not happy with that rendition. I do Jackie's better than my own. All right, I'm going to do it one more time. There once was a man named Mull. His humor, it never is dull. The revolution he loves from the Father above, the smiles he make, has no law.
Nice.
Wow, I like that. That's good. You're gonna have to email that to me so I can put it with all these other treasures that I have. I think the best treasure I had from this birthday so far, and it's not over yet, was the one from Billy Thompson with the rendition of the participants in the Gospel Summit back in August, and her portrayal in hand-drawn dogs, which really was a It was just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
No, everybody that was in attendance at the Gospel Revolution Summit last month in Houston, Billy Thompson from Arizona, who was there, portrayed as a dog.
Yeah. And it was a canine weekend.
It's a dog's life at Michael's house in Houston. And I'm going to ask Jeff Robertson right now to post that in the Signs of the Times.
Absolutely.
At gospelrevolution.com so you guys can see that, because it is special. And you can go to my Facebook at Glenn Klein at Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and see the... Michael, she made me as a bulldog.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm a bulldog in front of a microphone, but you know what? I'm a little bit ripped. I mean, she put me in a sleeveless shirt. I kind of like that. And Carla,
yeah, I got it.
And Carla is a Cocker Spaniel.
Yes.
Right behind me.
Very appropriate looking.
And there's
yes.
a glass of tea and honey in front of me, so I like that.
Yeah.
That was
very
perfect.
Detailed.
Couldn't have been any better. Oh, by the way, one of the best things that hit my house today was a birthday card from my brother who was working at the Grand Canyon, younger brother, Steve. And on the front was a picture of a couple of beetles. One as a waiter standing at a table with two beetles at it, and up above there it says Dung Beetle Cafe. And out the window they're looking, and there's another dung beetle with a net standing behind a zebra below the tail. And the waiter says to the couple, the special today looks like it's going to be zebra. And you open it up, and it says, happy birthday and all that crap. And he nailed it right on the head.
Richard, that's just not, bro, that's just not right. That's what I'm saying.
Isn't it great? So I'm going to say farewell because My throne is calling. I'm going to have to go sit on my throne.
Yeah, we see what you're stepping in, or you know what I'm saying.
Richard,
you are loved all around the planet. And,
yes, you are.
From the three guys that are online with you right now, you are loved, bro.
And Thank you. I feel it, and I'll tell you, it's what's getting me through this. I guarantee it.
All right. Well, just stay in touch, and we love you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Love you, too. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye, love you, Richard.
Michael.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's the king of comedy. Oh, my God. Richard Mull from Southern California. You know, I put on my Facebook, guys, a quote from a guy named Charlie Engel. If you guys want to read a powerful article, go to this month's edition of Men's Journal and read the article about Charlie Engel. It's just beyond belief what this guy has gone through and what he is going through. And he said something in there that was so powerful that I posted on my Facebook in my status. And it was so appropriate on the things that we've talked about here on the webcast. He said, Michael, that he believes that the only important things that he's learned in life has come through suffering.
Yeah.
And our brother Richard's suffering right now. We're suffering with him, not like he is. But he's not only is he learning things, as he described tonight, but he's teaching us through his suffering. He's teaching us about the divine nature that's in him and that is in all of us. He's teaching us how a person can go through the kind of suffering and travail that he is with such dignity, with such graciousness, and with such humor.
Yeah, you know, Richard and I are on the phone every day. And it has been it's been a real amazing thing. And let me also say to everyone, you know, Richard in many ways has touched my life so very deeply and has been there for me when there just were others that just could not be. Richard has stepped in ways that I can't even explain or express to you. And I personally want to thank everyone who has sent him a card, took the time. I take it as a very personal thing also that Richard's getting all these wonderful cards. And for those of you that took the time to do it and are taking the time, I mean, you still got 2 days. As if he's wallpapered one wall, let's give him enough to shingle the roof. You know, these things are important to Richard because, and they mean something to him because he is so attentive to these things. I never have a birthday to come around or any special date that I don't get a card from Richard, and it arrives the day before or on the day, and never late. The only time it's been late is that I didn't go check the mail. So thank you guys so very much, and I really do appreciate it. And, yes, I'm learning from Richard. I learn from him every time that we talk. And a level of the actual application, if you will, of the gospel to the heart. And I'm learning tremendous amounts. I'm just learning tremendous amounts from this man, and it's inspiring me to do more. So again, I love you, Richard, and I appreciate everybody that is out of the love of your heart because you love Richard. You're reaching out to him, and that's what family's all about, is when you let people know that you're there and you reach out.
No doubt. And it's not just what we're learning from him, although there is plenty of that. It's what we are gleaning from him. I mean, the impact that Richard is having on people all over the planet, people that we will never know, that are not going to send him a birthday card. And by the way, we will have Richard's snail mail address for you before the end of the show. I don't know, maybe we... You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com if you do not have Richard's email address, and we'll forward it to you. That's what we'll do.
Or his snail mail address.
His snail mail. And...
Yeah.
And if you want, listen, if it's a couple days late, believe me, he's not going to have a
that's
problem.
All right.
With it. Yeah, that's fine.
Birthdays last a whole month now, I learned from the kids. So.
Okay, yeah, I like that. But, Greg, you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, the impact that Richard is having, just by being himself on people like you and me is, and Michael is just profound.
Well, it is because, when you really face things like some of the things that Mike's gone through in the last year and, what Richard's facing now and other people, what Grant Miller's going through right now.
Yeah.
And the application of the gospel is, it's so practical. We've talked about how for years we walked around going, okay, now how does this apply to my life? Now it's just such an intricate part of my belief system and my understanding of the world. That's
what you think.
It's the way I think, right? The way I interact with other people, it's just beginning to really just take over my personality, my belief system is gospel, gospel, gospel.
Right, and it is truly the power of God unto salvation. Don't forget, folks, that salvation is not your redemption. You are redeemed, as is everybody. And when we say everybody, we mean everybody. Right now, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is in the United States, in New York City, about to speak to the United Nations. That guy is as righteous and perfect and holy as Yeshua HaMashiach. We're not talking about redemption. We're talking about knowing of our redemption.
Yeah.
We're talking about the power that impacts people's emotions and intellect and will that, well, it's really hard to describe. You can experience it. You should experience it. We recommend experiencing it. We have people that are listening to us. We're in over 160 countries now, all over the planet, that are suffering tremendously, like Grant and Richard and our dear George Najjar and his son Anthony in Ohio, not too far from where Greg is calling us from right now. There are people that are under the sound of our voice that are in tremendous agony. But, Michael, the power of God, the gospel, will save their soul, even or especially in the middle of situations like that.
And here's the thing, is that you need that salvation to be in place before you get to this place. You see, I didn't know what the gospel had done until I went through some very threatening situations. I didn't start trying to get this in. However, the daily administration of the gospel to the heart is vital. But this is coming after a long time of meditation in the gospel. There's a transforming power. I literally believe that the receptors of the brain begin to reconnect differently. Our addictive emotional way of thinking, the gospel, I think it has an effect on the brain, and that those connectors begin to disassociate with the things of the emotional adrenaline that they're addicted to.
Yeah.
And you just don't even know your brain is being rewired. I really believe that. And it's a very powerful thing because the gospel interrupts your predictable thought patterns and begins to interrupt the emotional response. And
hey,
unless that emotion is there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, last night I walked into a restaurant near where I live, and there was a guy that I used to coach softball with from years ago who's just got out of prison. And he did something that was, you know, it was kind of reprehensible, you might say. And I saw him sitting at the bar, and I walked over and sat down next to him, just struck up a conversation, and he looked over at me and he said, "Greg, you know what? You heard what I did, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm just kind of surprised you came over here to sit with me." I said, "That's all good, man. Well, let's talk about it." And that the old me wouldn't. I don't do things like that.
Yeah.
And that surprised him that I came over and just sat down and started talking to him. And
that's awesome.
That's the gospel at work.
No, I totally concur with you, Michael. That and we're experiencing that. I'm experiencing that. That the gospel literally impacts your brain.
Yeah.
The way your brain works, not just the way your brain thinks, but the way it works. We cannot recommend the gospel more to you. What do we mean by that? What we mean is to meditate, to contemplate, to discuss, to write, to however you can express, whether it be in receiving the gospel or sharing the gospel more. Meditate means to mutter, to talk about. It's been our experience, and as Michael said, it's only in the wake of our experience can we share this, that the gospel literally will affect the way that you perceive yourself, the way that you perceive your loved ones and everybody else on the planet. How can you stay away from something that led you out of legalism? I remember you talking about, Michael, a dear brother of ours who has now renounced God and proclaimed himself pretty much to be an atheist. How do you renounce the gospel that led you into freedom?
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah, and you know, that's the awesome thing about it is that we can even support them in where they are. You know, it's there's not an ounce of condemnation or judgment upon them from me or anyone in the gospel revolution. And I think there is a bit of heartache there because I know that I think we understand that there's something that they're missing out on. It's one thing to get free enough to where you can embrace your unbelief, but it's another thing to let the gospel embrace you completely. And, that has been the difference to me. The gospel not only freed me from the former way of thinking, but it has now embraced me mentally and emotionally. It has embraced me, and it's just I couldn't even entertain the thought of walking to something else or even laying it to the side for a while. I mean, my goodness, I got some news last week that was just kind of shell-shocking to my soul, and I really was kind of I'm really taken aback. And I happened to sit down, and I just thought, well, I'm going to type in Gospel Revelation, see what Jeff's been working on the website. And
that is only partially true. You tell the whole story.
Well, I think I am.
No.
I'm going to hang up, guys, and listen. Let somebody else call in.
All right, Greg. We
all
love
right,
you. Thanks for calling.
Love you, Greg.
There goes Greg Amber.
I think I'm just not to that part of the story yet.
Okay. All right. Well, let me tell you that the video that you guys need to check out, this video, which I referenced earlier in the show, which is Michael's teaching on video on the fruits of self-righteousness. That's right on the homepage. So you go to that video to check it out.
Well, I went to the website to check it out is what I was doing, and I noticed that there was a video that was posted that I remembered doing over 5 years ago. And I looked at it, and the first thing I thought was, wow, I look a lot better than I did in these other videos. And I literally clicked on it just because I wanted to see how good I looked.
Right. That's the point. That's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. My motives were completely narcissistic.
Right. What Christianity would say, it would be completely carnal.
Yeah, it was very carnal, which doesn't mean anything that they say it means anyway.
Right, exactly.
That's another whole teaching altogether.
Exactly.
But I did click onto it because I was hoping that at least this one I look good. You know, I think about people clicking on the site and I think, oh my gosh, I want to look good. You know, I don't want to look bad. And we did a couple of videos that I wish we could really ditch. But
well,
there's a lot of people.
I will confirm that you look damn good in this video.
Well, I look damn better for sure. And I had to click onto it and just see, and I started watching the video, but immediately the statements that were coming out, it's probably the most, well, let me tell you my experience first in doing the video. I walked away from there that night. Had it been in my hands, see, I recorded this in studio, Randy French's studio, in Michigan. I'm not able to say the name of the town right now for some reason, but anyway, it's in Michigan, just near Grand Haven. In fact, it may be in Grand Haven itself. But so it was kind of out of my hands. He was going to take it, was going to produce it, and do everything. And so if it would have been turned over to me, I would have put it in, you know, the file, and it would have never gone anywhere. And I've never listened to it since then. I have not listened to this video or the CD version of it, which we have both. I haven't listened to either of them. The one I did the next day, I was very pleased with. But I started listening to this, and it is in like 15, 16-minute segments each. And, Glenn, I could not stop listening.
And let us remember what Michael said at the beginning of the story, is that you were pretty distraught when you happened log on to the website just to see how you were looking and what was on the homepage.
Absolutely. I thought I'd be encouraged by my good looks or something.
And you should be.
So anyway, I'm listening to this, and everything in me is like being washed. I'm telling you, it had been a while since I'd had that type of shock to my system. And I was just, you know, I had company here, and I didn't, you know, start telling everybody about what was going on or anything. And I just came in and I sat down and I got my computer and, you know, I was just checking things out. And they were sitting around also, and as I was playing this, and I just could not believe what I was hearing, and there was not a full minute of this that went by in this about 1 hour teaching on video that I just wasn't saying, my gosh, that's wow, that's good. I don't remember saying any of it, actually. I remember the concepts I was teaching, but I don't remember the things that I said at all. And the way that it was presented was absolutely brilliant. I'm telling you, I was sitting here thinking, my goodness, boy, the Holy Ghost is the great teacher, no doubt, because I had written that entire teaching off because of an emotional response I had to giving the teaching, and I think it is one of the best I have ever done in my life.
Well, it is phenomenal, and Michael has very rarely listened to any of his teachings.
I just don't.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. We really do. However, that teaching, folks, is available right now on the homepage. You can go to it. Hopefully you'll wait till after the webcast, and you can listen to that for free. It's just sitting there waiting for you to watch it and to listen to it. And for those of us which are in a large number at this point around the world, like Greg was talking about the teaching on the mystery of unbelief earlier, you will appreciate the teaching, but you will say, well, this is as strong as anything that you've ever heard from Michael. And that's the reality of the gospel. Much of what Michael was teaching 5 years ago, or whenever that video was produced, for those of you guys that have just been listening to the webcast for a little while, you'll hear it, you'll recognize it, because it's the gospel. It's the truth. Yeah. It is the truth that will make you free. Not free from condemnation or judgment or a punishment from God. You're already free from that, but free in your thinking, in the way that you understand and relate to the way that God sees you and the way that you can see yourself and everybody else. Cannot recommend it enough. Michael's soul got saved. And by the way, that teaching was done in the middle of Michael's biggest crisis in his life.
Yeah, that's true.
With his family. And yet the gospel and the Holy Spirit was there teaching this wonderful truth about what are the fruits, or what is the fruit of self-righteousness. You will be powerfully impacted. I told you guys earlier that I overdosed by listening to that. I was just listening to it because I was editing the book. I'm editing the book and listening to this video, and I literally came unglued. I had to put it down. I had to put the video down. I had to put the editing of the book down and call Michael and just express what I was experiencing, not knowing what Michael had experienced at the time exactly when he needed to hear it the most. We cannot recommend the gospel more to you beautiful humans. It doesn't make a difference if it comes through Michael, if it comes through the reading of the scriptures or the Bible, the understanding of the discussions that you have, and we know that you guys talk about it. We're going to talk about Michael's company that he had at this time, Ray Harris and Katrina Benham, at the time, and what's happened in their life in the last few days. But it doesn't make a difference if it comes through Katrina's music or wherever it comes from. Just continue to focus and meditate and stay in this gospel. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is webcast number 2. Of the Start of Fall Pledge Drive. We've talked about it a little bit. We're going to talk about it some more. We've got more calls coming, and we want to take your call at 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live and it's just about 10 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., that is your cue to give us a call. We want to hear from you tonight. If you've got a pledge, if you've made a pledge, if you don't want to make a pledge, we still want to hear from you. Sean's ready to take your call. 800-436-3260. That's in Canada and the U.S. If you're listening outside of North America, you can call 813-425-5773. That number is 813-425-5773. As we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and called them Adam, and it was good." In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Ooh, I like that. Bro, you know what the thing is? It does not stop. It's just amazing the understanding and the insight that continues to come, because the gospel is both finite, but it is infinite as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good stuff. I tell you, I'm just ruminating on this tonight. I'm mad at Richard because he didn't tell me this when he found out. But that just answers so many questions. And it will, and as we protract that fractal of truth about this requirement for belief, the law, faith, and everything was only on the nation of Israel. It's going to bring another great clarity to this. Absolutely will. And even while we were talking, of course, my brain's got another program that runs in the back. And Paul went into this into detail, and that how that the unbelief of Israel has led to the redemption of the whole world. He specifically talked about it being Israel in talking to the Gentiles about why they're upset about the Jews, when it was the Jews that were used to bring about this incredible fullness of life to the entire planet. They were the players on the stage. It's so beautiful.
It really is. And the understanding of the impact and the import of the setting of the stage by the nation of Israel, or by God through the nation of Israel, cannot be overstated. This reminds me of the scene in Fiddler on the Roof, when Tevye is ruminating over the fact that the Jewish people are the chosen people. And he asks God, he said, can't somebody else be chosen sometime? Now, the Jewish people continue to see themselves at that point in the late 19th century in Russia as the chosen people. The people in Israel right now continue to see themselves as the chosen people. The issues that are going on right now in the Middle East as we speak, as President Obama spoke to the United Nations today, Prime Minister Netanyahu commented and met and had a news conference with President Obama. We talked about Ahmadinejad from Iran speaking. Let me tell you something, folks. As a Jewish man who really used to teach the import of the nation stands on Israel vis-a-vis the prophecies and the scriptures and the promises, the modern nation of Israel has nothing, zero, to do with the prophecies and the fulfillment of those prophecies. Everything was fulfilled at the cross. The prophet, everything that had to do with the prophecies, everything that had to do with the scriptures, everything that had to do with the prayers, the Psalms, if you will, was fulfilled at the cross. Now, these are important issues to us, but the Jewish people today have literally nothing to do with that was prophesied, that they were used by God as an example, as a precursor, as a foreshadowing of the cross and the disciples, as we talked about earlier. This is a hard thing for people to get over sometimes, Michael.
Yeah, it really is. The scriptural Israel was fulfilled in the body of Jesus Christ. But you got to also realize that the scriptural Gentile was fulfilled in the body of Christ. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile. There's none of that. It's all one in Christ now. And there is no scriptural Israel anymore. There is an Israel, but there is no scriptural Israel. Scriptural Israel was established to be the nation on the stage to play out this incredible role that was chosen by God to usher in, through predestination of
yes.
lives and an entire nation. An entire nation was predestined by God. The birth of the people in that nation, predestined by God. The entire issue of predestination was focused on Israel. It was not to the whole world. It was not to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, the nation of Israel was predestined. I'm telling you, we used to call them glory bumps back in the. This is just thrilling me to pieces to be able to see this picture, and that's the thing that is happening in the Gospel Revolution, is the picture is clarifying. It's like
right.
It's kind of like I remember when I watched TV when I was just a kid, and I'd sit in the living room and wait for TV to sign on, and the test pattern would come on first. Boy, I'm really giving away my age. And TV would sign on at 7 in the morning, and I would be up, and I'd listen and watch the test pattern, and then suddenly, you know, Captain Kangaroo would be, you know, shaking his keys. And there was this blurry, fuzzy picture that was on. And what has happened over the years, I mean, you can't buy a TV that next year is not going to be obsolete as far as clarity and definition. I mean, my TV I bought almost 4 years ago, and it is fantastic. I mean, it's like these people are in the room with me when I watch this. But that's what's happening with the gospel. It's not the gospel isn't changing. It's just the clarity of it is increasing. And just like everybody wants the latest TV, I want the latest update on the gospel. I want to see it as clearly as I possibly can, because it goes directly to my mind and my soul, and affects my brain. And the clarity of this zeroing in now, the predestination was for Israel and the Jewish community only, and the fact that the requirement of faith was for the Jewish community and the nation of Israel only.
Right, the requirement of belief. And to the degree that nations like Egypt or Persia or Babylon were predestined as well, it is in direct relation to their interaction with Israel.
They were the supporting actors around Israel, is their whole thing.
Yeah, because we know that there were Aztecs and Native Americans and the rest happening at the same time and even before, but there's nothing that was predestined for them.
Not
in the Bible, that's for sure.
No.
Yes. So.
No. And what all we have is the Scriptures. The only thing that's predestined is what's in the Scriptures.
Right.
And it was predestined for the story that's in the Scriptures. Otherwise, there is no sense in predestination at all. And here we have now this incredible predestination of God has been fulfilled. It is complete, and now we come on the other side of this thing from the cross. We are done with predestination. We are in the will of God. We are done with God planning things for anybody or giving purpose to somebody's life other than the righteousness that they have at birth. And that's what we've got to work with, folks. And I think it's just vitally important that we begin to realize what we have and what we don't have. We've cut through the illusion of what we don't have. Man, we've sliced through every layer of this hocus-pocus of healing and prosperity and prayer and even praise and all of these things. And now we're able to allow the power of God to do what it was designed to do and was predestined to do. And its effect was predestined to it is the only power of God you're going to find on the earth today. Can you get that? The only power of God on the earth today is the gospel.
Yep.
They ain't no more. Why? We don't need any more. And somehow we still don't get this is all we need. What we needed, God has done. We think we need him to heal us of our sicknesses and our diseases and make everything go right. That is not the case. God did all of those things for us, especially through Christ, really to bring our people together so he could get the message across, the one of unbelief. He wanted to convince them of their unbelief every time. He performed miracles to expose their unbelief, not their faith. And it really is just an amazing thing. And this big picture of the nation of Israel, I have a great respect for what the nation of Israel was chosen for. But we do have to realize scriptural Israel no longer exists. It's another nation on this planet now. Thank God it is a wonderful and strong ally to the United States in the middle of the Middle East. And thank God for that. But we're getting no favors from God by supporting Israel.
Right.
We are favoring ourselves
and
by supporting Israel.
And Israel is not favored by God, folks.
Yes.
And I'm talking about, you could not support Israel any more than I do. I've been there several times. I love Israel. But they are not favored by God. The
right.
amazing thing that they've done is incredible in the middle of that neighborhood. But you guys, there is nothing special about Israel. Israel in the sight of God is no more favor than Iran is. You need to hear that.
That's exactly right.
And you know what? Listen, that may upset you if you haven't heard that before or you haven't thought that before, but it is so freeing for me as a guy that based his entire existence for the better part of a decade, over a decade, on getting everybody to understand that Israel, the current state of Israel, was important in the plan of God in the end time scenario. You guys, Israel, and by the way, just so you know that I know that you know, that I know, that you know, Israel is primarily a secular nation. They are not, the black hats and the Hasidim, the religious Jews that you will see on the television, that is about only 10% of that little nation. Most of the people are extremely secular. There's a spiritual component there, and by the way, the nation of Israel is ripe for the gospel. Believe me. Now, the interesting thing is the persecution the Jewish people have faced, including the current crop of Jewish people around the planet, in anti-Semitism. One person said that Jews are not persecuted because they killed Christ; they're persecuted because they gave Christ. Well, I don't know about that. I do know the reality of anti-Semitism. I do know the reality of what the modern nation of Israel is facing. You need to make it so we have gospel revolutionaries that do not support Israel, that are more on the side of the Arabs and the Palestinian people. I have to say right now that we take no stand on that. There is the issue that they're debating right now in the United Nations that President Obama spoke of today is not a gospel issue. The Palestinians, the Israelis, the Iranians, the Iraqis, the Syrians, the Lebanese, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, they are all equal and perfect and holy and righteous and sinless and without blame in the eyes of God. They are all one in God. Oh, this excites me. I got to read this. Yeah. This just came in from Richard, Michael. This is from Richard. If you're just logging on, we heard from Richard Mull earlier. This is what Richard said. He goes, "This gospel is the real thing. I kid you." Here's the king of comedy saying, "I kid you not." He says, "Paul said that some are preaching another gospel, which is no gospel, which is no gospel at all. This gospel we have is life, health, and healing to the soul, and even renews the mind." Richard says, "Please make a monthly pledge to Mike Williams Ministries so we continue to preach the truth of the gospel of peace and grace." Thank you, gospel revolutionaries, Richard Mull says. I thank you, gospel revolutionaries around the world. Always in Christ, Richard in SoCal.
And, you know, Glenn, I have to say this. I'm sorry, but I just have to. I had no plans to do it. But, you know, Richard is at a point right now where he is choosing between the funds that he's spending. Now, he's not going without treatment, but he is having to choose between the funds that he's spending for treatment and continuing his pledge that he's made to the ministry. And he's being hit. He has insurance, but there's all these co-pays and extra things that are coming along. And that's the kind of heart for other people that it takes to really be a part of this. We can't twist your arm to give. You have to care about other people to be a part of this. It's the only reason for being a part of it. It's the only reason that we share. That's the only reason that Richard is doing what he's doing in the middle of fighting for his very life, is because he cares. He cares about other people, and he expresses that care. And you guys are expressing your care for him by sending him cards, and you pay particular attention to that. And in saying that, I also, Glenn, I want to say to you, I want to thank you for what you just did for the people. What you just said needed very much to be said, but it probably could have only been said by you. It would be most appropriately said by you of those of us in the Gospel Revolution. And to have that equalizing force of the gospel to place on this side of the cross Israel and Iran on the same level. I'm just so deeply touched by that. You know, others may be incensed. They may be almost outraged by what you had to say, but I am so deeply touched by that. Because this is a thing that we've fought for all of these years, and to knock down all of these preconceived notions of division, that little series tape that I was telling you about, the fruits of self-righteousness, the thing that made it so powerful was that we drew the comparison that the Romans is not talking about the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. The book of Romans is talking about righteousness and self-righteousness.
Right.
And we aligned that comparison properly. It was amazing what had happened. Now, what you've just done for the people by aligning these things properly on the level of truth. Now, we all know who the friend of the United States is. We all know who the enemies of the United States are. That's where people are getting confused by trying to choose sides here. The fact is, there's only one friend of the United States in that group. And regardless of what you think has led to these situations or not, the U.S. has one friend in the Middle East. And for you as a Jewish man to come on this broadcast and articulate to the people the power of this gospel to such a degree that you lay out as a Jewish man the nation of Israel and the nation of Iran as being equal in the eyes of God. There couldn't have been anything more powerful stated here in this program tonight. There couldn't be.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael. I need to say this because I know our Israeli brothers and sisters. They don't want to be special. They don't want to be chosen. You know what the people of Israel want more than anything? They want to be the same as everybody else. They want to be the same as England and Spain.
Yeah.
And Germany and Egypt, they just want to be left alone and to be able to live their lives. And the gospel is the great equalizer, folks.
It is the only equalizer.
Thank God. Thank God for the gospel. God, what Richard said is so powerful.
Yeah.
The gospel is the power of God. It is, there is no kidding here. There is no equivocation in our report. This is why we do what we do week after week after week after week, day after day after day. It's because we, not only do we believe it, we know it. This is what allows a Jewish man to be in love with and have a relationship with a Filipino woman. You couldn't do that. You can't do that. In religious Jewish circles, you can't even do that. They gotta be Jewish. Now they can convert to Judaism, then everything is cool. But you guys, everybody has been converted in Christ. We just need to know it. That's the conversion of the soul. When you know that you are one with all the brothers and sisters. We just had a thing happen here a couple days ago where, for the first time in the history of the United States, that gay and lesbian people can come out and say they are gay, they are lesbian, they are homosexual, and they can serve in the United States military. This is a very powerful manifestation of the gospel. This is an equalizing of the branches of the military of this country. The military is a huge part, as you know, of the United States. And for that segment of our society to say, everybody in this is equal. This happened under Harry Truman for the African-American community. Now it has happened for the gay community. Thank God. Thank God that we live in a time that we could see this manifestation of the gospel. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is webcast number 2 of the Start of Fall Pledge Drive. Sean is about to bring on our administrator and the Secretary of Defense. Speaking of the military, he is our first line of defense there in the office. So please welcome online the administrator, Jeff Robertson. Jeffro!
Good evening.
It didn't work.
I tried.
It was a good effort. It kind of worked for
it
me.
It was better than the last effort, one.
No, it kinda,
I mean that last one just bombed. It was like a turd.
No, it kind of worked for me.
I tried.
Good evening.
I tried.
What's happening, buddy? Do you have Billy Thompson's cartoon up?
It is up. There is a link to it in the upper right-hand corner of the website right now. You can view it.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
And she captured me perfectly. I don't like my hair. But anyway.
You have good hair, Jeff. I can attest to that personally. You have very good hair.
That's for sure.
She captured me perfectly because I'm on the freaking phone all the time. You know what? I'm going to have it implanted. I'm just going to have it implanted.
Just do a brain implant.
We're pretty excited about the folks that have contributed so far to the Start of Fall Pledge Drive.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We have a lot of contributors. We really do. The monthlies, yeah, we've got a stretch to go. We really do. But you know what? Everybody's been wonderful. And
well, our goal is $500 this 21-day period during this pledge drive. $500 of new or increased monthly pledges. Where are we right now, Jeff?
We are at 125. And you know what? These mostly of the 125, most of them are people who've increased their monthly. There is only one new person who has joined on for monthly, and he's a zealot, by the way. He went from fundamentalist to revolutionist overnight about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago. And so he's on board, and we thank God for him. But, you know, folks, I didn't call to try to talk people into pledging monthly or anything. But you know what? It does, you know, we are doing everything we can with what we've got to keep this message going and get it out to more and more people. And I talk to people every day who just want their families that they've grown up with, and they see their brothers and their sisters hurting, including myself. I just recently, I don't talk to my own family very much, but my two sisters grew up in Christianity, and I recently have talked to both of them, and I can only share very little with them. They don't go to church. They can't stand going to church because my mother forced it down their throat. My mom is very much like Ray Harris's mom. But they have so much of it still hanging in their heads. And we all know people like that. And I talk to people every day. They give people CDs from Mike, like Galatians, his series on Galatians and a few other things, and try to introduce them to the gospel that they love and they are thriving in. And I'm hearing great stories. For example, the new guy who is our new contributor, monthly contributor, it's because his cousin gave him some CDs from Mike. The poor guy was lamenting under Christianity. I'm not trying to say Christianity is a bad word or anything, but he was lamenting under everything he's grown up with.
I'll say Christianity is a bad word.
Yeah, you will.
Christianity is a really, really bad word and concept.
Yeah, we feel that now, but we were all there. We used to name it and claim it, and we claimed we were Christians, and people should hear that too. They should know. We all came from that, and we all lamented under it. And this guy, he got free from Mike Williams' tapes. As a matter of fact, the cousin who gave him his tapes, he calls me pretty regularly, and he says, you know what, every time I call my cousin, I hear Mike Williams in the background all the time. Mm. All the time.
Wow.
Now, that's actually not what I called about.
Wait. We got to tell the story, though, because when Michael picked us up at the airport, when we flew in for the summit. I don't know who you were talking to, but I mean, the office phone was forwarded to Jeff's cell phone, and Michael was just talking in the car. It was Jeff, Carla, and me. And
that was somebody else from Kansas calling.
And the guy asked, you got a CD of Mike's playing in the background. And you said, no, that's actually Mike live.
Yeah, he was chauffeuring me from the airport.
I was the chauffeur. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's Mike chauffeuring.
And it was nice. It was a nice change, actually, because usually I'm in the driver's seat when we're going from the airport.
That's right.
That is true.
And it was a nice change because, you know what, I never saw the road from that side of the car before. So, yeah, but, I get callers all the time. I have hundreds of people calling me. I'm like Gospel 411 or Gospel 911 sometimes. But,
yeah, really.
And so bringing that up, actually, the Gospel 911, I had somebody, while I was still working at Mike's house, call in about something in the, one of the four Gospels where God would separate the sheep and the goats. And while I was on the phone, I have two important things I want to bring up, and I'll do it as briefly as I can.
You got to hurry because we're really...
I will hurry. But while I was listening to Mike on the phone, while I was on hold there, Mike brought up something beautiful about there are no Jews, there are no sheep. I got a call while I was at Mike's house, working at Mike's house, and the only way I could answer it, because they were really stumped on Jesus said about the sheep and the goats would be separated and one would go one way and one would go the other. And I answered the call, and then I got off the phone, and I went out to Mike, and I was like, you know what, I don't know if I really answered this very well, but when they asked me about the goats, and I told Mike, and I said, Mike, my answer was, there are no goats. And he said, you're right, there are no goats, but also, Jeff, there are no sheep. I mean, he was thinking this through as we were talking. I mean, everything's live with us. And then Mike tonight was talking about there are no Jews, there are no Gentiles. Mike, there are no sheep, and there are no goats, are there?
Yeah, thank God.
None.
That's exactly right, Jeff.
No such thing.
Yeah, you can't have a sheep and a goat and a new creation, too.
Nope, you can't have them.
See, there are no sheep and there are no goats, folks. There's only the shepherd left.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it. That's it.
And
it boils down to one, which would be a title of a good book. But
that'd be
anyway,
a good title for a book, wouldn't it?
That'd be a good title for a book. Two other things I wanted to bring up. And number one, that video, I'm going to apologize to everybody for the video right now. That video is perfectly intact. If it plays on your computer, if you buy the DVD, it plays perfectly intact. YouTube has a codec problem. I've uploaded it 9 times. And then this wonderful man named Barris Bartlett in Tennessee called me because he saw the problem where the audio falls out of sync after about 34 minutes. And he said, let me help you. And he researched it. He Googled it. He got online with other people. And they said, yeah, it's a Google problem. Try this format. He and I worked for days and days uploading different formats of that video. And we couldn't get the audio to sync after 34 minutes. I was going to take it down because Mike wants good quality on there. And I know that. And I want good quality, too. And I was like, Mike's not going to be happy with this. So I was going to take it down. About 10 minutes before I was going to take it down, I had 3 people call me saying, thank God you put that video up there. Please. And I was like, you know what? I'm about to take it down. And all 3 of them begged me not to.
What was that gentleman's name?
Barris Bartlett. He's a lovely Australian man married to a Tennessean, God love him. And he's living in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, we've spoken to him before.
And
Michael, you mentioned Randy French earlier. And I don't know, and Randy's been very instrumental in a lot of the production. Of the CDs and the DVDs. And it just reminded me how many people, you guys, are behind the scenes that are just strictly volunteers of the Gospel Revolution. And it's amazing. How many folks?
It's an army.
It is a revolutionary army. It is it's a continental army. It's a universal continental army, if you will. What was the other thing, Jeff?
The other thing was we were talking about the mystery of unbelief, and it's really funny because yes, unbelief was intentional by God, and you know what? God was sneaky. Jesus was sneaky, and there's a few points I want to point out. You know, the Jews, they knew that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem, and even Herod, when Jesus was born, you know, killed horrible numbers of children under 2 years old because he wanted to kill the Messiah. And
he killed all the kids under 2 years old.
Yeah,
that's why Miriam and Joseph hightailed it to Egypt. There's a prophecy that talks about they would come out of Egypt.
Yeah, I will call my son out of Egypt. Exactly. But you know what? The Jews only knew him as a Nazarene. Jesus did not once tell them he was born in Bethlehem because they were looking for a guy born in Bethlehem. And not only that, Jesus was sneaky. He talked about himself in the third person almost all the time. I'll never forget, I was out on Mike's patio. And I read a verse that used to bother me from time to time. And it didn't bother me. I just wondered, actually. It's like, you know, Jesus said, he who believes greater works will he do because I go to my Father in heaven. And I'm like, well, you know, I believe, but I've never, you know, healed the sick, raised the dead, or walked on water.
You walked in that pond in Michael's backyard, I know, from time to time.
I did, but I didn't walk on top of it.
All right.
And
fair
so
enough.
Anyway, I was like, you know what? I'm a believer. And not only that, I was thinking, you know, Peter and Paul are the only ones I know who are recorded as having done at least what Jesus did, like heal the sick and raise the dead, but nothing greater. They never did a greater work. So what's the deal? And then I finally figured out that sneaky, you know what, he was talking about himself because he was the one who believed. He was the only one who believed. Nobody believed. He believed. And when he went, and he said, because I go to my Father in heaven, he was the only one who believed. And when he went to his Father in heaven, he didn't just, like Mike said it beautifully, he didn't just heal a few people, he healed everyone. He didn't just raise some people from the dead, he raised everybody from the dead. And to top it all off, there was a new creation. And you know what? He presented it to the Father, and the Father was satisfied. That was the greater work.
Can't get any greater work than that, can you?
Can't get any greater work than that. And then you know what? You know what? Jesus was sneaky, and that's why everybody should listen to, and I am not trying to plug this series.
Yes, you are.
All right, I might as well plug the series. I mean, I'm not trying to, but in Matthew,
you're actually doing it. You're not trying to. You're actually doing it.
This is how sneaky Jesus was. Jesus talked about himself in the third person. That's how God made sure they wouldn't believe, because everybody thought it was about themselves. It was never about us. You know what? In Matthew it said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels," which he did on Resurrection Day, "and then he shall reward every man according to his works."
Oh, that's good stuff, Jeff.
You know, everybody needs to read the four Gospels all over again and find out how sneaky Jesus was. And you know what? You might get a clue as to wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. But you know what? He made sure. Jesus said he preached the gospel, and I believe he did. I know he did, but he made sure nobody would believe it.
Yeah.
He made sure nobody would believe it. And now I'm done. Now I'm done. I hope somebody else calls in. I love everybody. I love Richard Mull.
Yeah, we concur with that.
And his address, send him a card. It's still time. It's on Facebook. Go to the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Find the event, top secret event, send Richard a card.
It's not so top secret anymore.
No, the cat got out of the bag about 3 days ago. I've been talking to Richard, and I had to confess. I finally confessed my sin.
Thanks, Jeff. We love you.
I love you guys.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
Love you.
There's Jeff Robertson, and as he said, you guys can call in. We've got, and Sean is hating me. But we've got a lot more to do yet on webcast number 2 of the Start of Fall Pledge Drive. And I have to do this because Mike Kolb from Daytona, I think he's in Colorado right now, but Mike and Letitia Kolb from Daytona chastised me several weeks ago when we did not get to the topic that we had promoted. And I have to do it now because I received that chastisement. And our topic tonight that was promoted on the e-newsletter, and you guys can get the e-newsletter by just going to gospelrevolution.com and entering your email address at the top, was about Pat Robertson and his very controversial comments last week about the fact that it was okay to divorce your spouse if he or she has dementia or specifically Alzheimer's. The way it was reported in the media was just another outrageous comment from Pat Robertson, how just heinous that comment was, how unloving it was. And that was initially going to be the topic of our e-newsletter. And then we went and listened to the entire, because we've been trained by you, Michael, to listen to things and read things in context. And then I had to go and listen to the thing in context. And we found out that maybe it wasn't as harsh and as hateful as the media was reporting it. The Christian community reported it as completely unbiblical that Pat Robertson would say that it is okay to divorce your spouse because he or she has Alzheimer's. And I want you guys to listen to the full context of Pat Robertson's comments. This comes from directly the 700 Club video on that particular day last week. And we're going to talk about the possibility that in his older age, maybe Pat Robertson's heart is actually kinder than his doctrine. Even Pat Robertson's heart might be kinder than his doctrine.
Well, we have your questions from our chat room, and we'd like to take some time to address them now. Pat, this is Andreas, who says, I have a friend whose wife suffers from Alzheimer's. She doesn't even recognize him anymore, and as you can imagine, the marriage has been rough. My friend has gotten bitter at God for allowing his wife to be in that condition, and now he started seeing another woman. He says that he should be allowed to see other people because his wife, as he knows her, is gone. I'm not quite sure what to tell him. Please help.
Oh, that is a terribly hard thing. It is. I hate Alzheimer's. It is one of the most awful things because here's the loved one. This is the woman or man that you have loved for 20, 30, 40 years, and suddenly that person is gone. They're gone. They are gone. So what he says basically is correct, but I know it sounds cruel, but if he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again. But, you know, to make sure she has custodial care and somebody looking after her.
But isn't that the vow that we take when we marry someone, that it's for better,
well,
for worse, for richer, for
poorer? I know.
For
if you respect that vow, but you say, look, death do us part, this is the kind of death. So that's what he's saying, is that she's like, but this is an ethical question that is beyond my ken to tell you, but I certainly wouldn't put a guilt trip on you if you decided that, you know, you had to have companionship, you're lonely, and you're asking for some companionship as opposed to, but what a grief. I know one man who went to see his wife every single day, and she didn't recognize him one single day, and she would complain that he never came to see her, and I mean, it was just, you know, it's really hurtful because they say crazy things.
Yeah.
And
they, well, they see,
well, she
see.
finally died. I don't know what he's done, but nevertheless, it is a terribly difficult thing for somebody, and I can't fault them for wanting some kind of companionship. And if he says, in a sense, she is gone, he's right. It's like a walking death. So, but get some ethicist besides me to give you the answer. I recognize the dilemma, and the last thing I do is condemn you for taking that kind of action. All right.
This is Christine, who says, I know the Bible.
That's not the Pat Robertson that we know, Michael.
No, and that's the first time I've heard the clip, and I really was just going with what you say you had heard, because I had not heard it. And
well, I had not heard the entire clip till today, because I was just going on what the media was reporting on. And my assumption was that Pat was saying that it is better to divorce and therefore get remarried than to have any kind of companionship, if you will, outside the bonds of marriage. He never says that. And there Michael dropped off, Sean. For some reason, it happens when we go overtime. We just lose contact with Michael, but he'll be back. But the point is, folks, is that Pat Robertson never mentions fornication or any kind of judgment about that, the kind of companionship that might be desired in the case of your partner having Alzheimer's. There's an openness there that belies Pat Robertson's doctrine. You know what Pat Robertson's doctrine is. If you have sex, that kind of intimacy outside marriage, you are in trouble. You are in deep doggy doo-doo. And that's not what we heard there. We heard a man that was expressing compassion. He said he would not put a guilt trip. He would not condemn or bring condemnation on somebody who is in that situation. Michael has said on many occasions and has challenged people, is your heart kinder than your doctrine? If your heart is kinder than your doctrine, guess who is right? Is Michael back with us? Not yet. I can tell you which one is right. If your heart is kinder than your doctrine, your heart is right, folks. We've talked about this a lot on this webcast. And that is that people who call themselves Christians, who go to church on Sunday mornings, perhaps on Sunday and Wednesday nights, they could not live anything approaching a normal life if they actually believed their doctrine. How can you go out for dinner? How can you sit down and watch Dancing with the Stars? How can you go to a movie when people all around you, your neighbors, the people that are in attendance at that movie theater, are going to hell, facing an everlasting burning and torment and torture forever, eternal torment from a so-called loving God? It's because their heart tells them something different. Their heart is kinder than their doctrine. And I think that in this little vignette, we see that even Pat Robertson, who blamed 9/11 on the sins of America, that blamed the fires in Central Florida on Disney World's stance on giving benefits to gay and lesbian partners, that blamed Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, on the lifestyle and the so-called debauchery of New Orleans. The same man is now, at least in this example, articulating graciousness. This is an amazing thing, and we would be loath not to point that out. This would not be intellectually honest if we didn't say that this is a different kind of comment from Pat Robertson. I mean, some of Pat's comments, and you wonder about it, if he does it on purpose just to generate publicity and promotion, but he was roundly criticized and condemned from the Christian community because those statements do not line up with Christian doctrine. When the Christian commentators and bloggers and preachers condemn Pat Robertson's response to say that it is true and absolute till death do you part, Pat was actually having an open mind. I mean, he was thinking out of the box there, that Alzheimer's is a type, as he said, a type of walking death. He was actually opening up his heart. And his effort to articulate a more open-minded viewpoint. That was really an amazing thing. We've had a lot of Pat Robertson comments on this webcast. In fact, we had something queued up for last week that we didn't get to that we had played earlier about Pat's comments. What was that on, Sean? I don't remember either. But just that we're just idiotic about the earthquake. That's what it was. That caused a crack in the Washington Monument that Pat Robertson compared directly to the renting of the veil in the Holy of Holies. He was comparing a crack in a monument in Washington, D.C. to the thing that happened at the day of the cross. That was absurd. That was ridiculous. But here he is voicing compassion and graciousness towards people that are suffering tonight. And you guys, I mean, there's very few people within the sound of our voice that have not had some direct involvement with Alzheimer's. My godmother, Judy, is suffering tremendously from Alzheimer's right now. She's still alive. My Aunt Lori died of Alzheimer's. It is, as Pat Robertson said, a horrific, horrible disease. So, this is some food for thought, and wanted to get to that tonight. Sean, do you want to call Michael? Try to get him back on? Normally, Michael calls right back when he drops off. And I know he's going to want to hear the last segment of the webcast, which is when we go over all the people that have given to the pledge drive. We're coming up on 2 hours. Gospel Revolution. Night number two, webcast number two of the Start of Fall Pledge Drive. This is Glenn Klein Online. And I also want to mention two gospel revolutionaries that are very near and dear to our heart that Michael referenced earlier. The company that he was keeping at the time when he went online and viewed his own video. And that was our beloved sister Katrina Benham and the very beautiful human Ray Harris. Since last week, since the last webcast, Ray has moved to Seattle, Washington, from Houston. Katrina went back to Australia for the time being. And we want to tell you guys that they made it safe and sound, and that they are sharing the gospel in those locales now. And we know that they're listening, whether it's live. I know Katrina for sure is listening on the archive. Probably Ray is too. How much love is extended their way on this particular Wednesday night? Michael, you back with us?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I'm on. I had to go through the phone.
Oh, you, the computer just blew up.
Yeah, my computer just froze up.
All right. Well, we're glad you're back. I went into great detail about Pat Robertson's thing, and the heart that was revealed that clearly is kinder than Pat Robertson's doctrine.
Well, that's the appeal, you know, that the gospel has, and I think a lot of times when these guys get older that they, you know, it's kind of like my dad. He was not much of a father, but boy, he was a great grandpa. And sometimes these guys get older, their heart does begin to take over.
Why do you think that is?
You begin to realize that it don't work. And that all your rules really don't make a whole lot of difference anyway. So I think that's the biggest part of it. You know, you tried your best. I think any parent tries their best. And but you have to look at the facts that, you know, the things don't turn out the way that we were told they would if you do what we were told. It just doesn't do it. And the fact is sometimes it turns out way good for kids that have parents that are just absolutely horrible. Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of the beyond the shadow of a doubt, if everyone is born righteous, everyone's heart is kinder than their doctrine.
Yeah, we mentioned that when you were trying to figure out how to get back online. But I think there's something about getting, you know, obviously everybody is within a breath of eternity. You never know. That's just the truth. We had here in Lakeland last week, we had a guy come in and shoot up his church. You might have heard of that. Wherever you're listening around the world, it's a horrific thing. And the guy killed his wife. Then he came into the church in Lakeland and shot in the head the pastor and the associate pastor in front of all these people. It's a horrible thing. And the both these guys have survived, and the doctors say that they're going to recover and that they're going to be okay. Now, of course, the church is talking about that this is a miracle from God. Now, we do not believe that, folks. We do not believe that pastor and that associate pastor was specially chosen by God to survive that kind of gunshot, just like Congresswoman Giffords in Tucson, Arizona. There's an explanation why that happens. The bullet just didn't go exactly in the so-called right place. That is not a miracle from God. That is explainable. We're thankful that those guys were not killed, but that was not a miracle. these type of things happen. They're happening right now. We're live right now. We're up in 2 hours into the webcast. They're happening right now. They're happening in Tampa. They're happening in Houston. They're happening in Australia. They're happening in Seattle. They're happening in Cincinnati. They're happening in Garden Grove, California. As we speak, these kind of tragedies. These are not from God, and those that are protected from heinous outcomes, they are not being protected from God. We cannot say that loudly enough. But the fact of the matter is, everybody is in a temporal death sentence. That's the truth. And so the reality of that has got us to a point in this vital, mental, rational, logical disposition where we're actually in a, Michael, we're in a better position to face each day knowing that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is what the gospel is and what it does, and it is what it has done. Couldn't encourage people more to participate in the letting your brain hear the gospel.
Speaking of participation, as we're wrapping up the second webcast of the Start a Fall Pledge Drive, and we'll talk about that, what specifically that is, as we finish up here. But this is my favorite part of the webcast and the pledge drive, when we get to talk to you guys about the people that have participated thus far.
Absolutely.
And as Jeff reported earlier, we are $125 in new and increased monthly giving and pledges towards our goal of $500 that we will finish up with next week's webcast. But this being literally the start of fall, we want to thank the following people for giving to the Gospel Revolution. Grace Conferences and Victor Brennan from Calgary, Alberta. Dale Van Sickle from Clyde, North Carolina. Ray Muse from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Tom Tonsky from Canton, Ohio. George Howell from Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia. Richard Mull from Garden Grove, California. Marks Mitchell from Kingsland, Arkansas. Doug Bowman from Little Rock, Arkansas. I need to correct myself. Mark Mitchell is from Kingsland. What is AR?
Arkansas.
No. Arkansas is AK.
Yes, it is. I don't know if there's an AR.
I think Jeff screwed up. But, you know,
no.
I'm going to get an email here before I go off the air. But Marks Mitchell from Kingsland, I'm going to say Arkansas. But we'll get a correction from Jeff. Billy Thompson, the aforementioned dog cartoonist from Wachuca City, Arizona. Jerry Ryan from beautiful Tampa, Florida. Alan Davis from Chipley, Florida. Craig Davis from Chipley, Florida. Kimberly Morris from Marion, Illinois. Jean Daviduck from Lethbridge, Alberta. Jean Giglio from Opelika, Alabama. Annette Hogan from Union, New Jersey. Tim and Beth Knappenberger from Canton, Ohio. Betty Cochran from Atoka, Oklahoma. Cliff and Katie Griffin from Gainesville, Georgia. Alvin Cooper from Oak City, Florida. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Deidre Simpson from Kelowna, British Columbia. Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Pastor Ted Winsett, where were you tonight, Pastor Ted? From Decatur, Alabama. And Pastor Pat Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Wayne Jensen from Bingham Lake, Minnesota. Lorraine Zerb from Edmonton, Alberta. We had an anonymous gift from Edmonton. Glenn Buchholz from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Jeff and Carolyn Cotton from Lawrenceville, Georgia. Greg Ambergy from Mainville, Ohio. Leroy Barrel from Marshville, Wisconsin. Bud and Ruth Ramsey from Park River, North Dakota. Helen Gannett from St. Alberta, Alberta. Pep Washburn from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Richard and Pat Solomon from Waukesha, Wisconsin. Bob Hines, again, from McDonough, Georgia. Jan and Frank Alardo from Mobile, Alabama, and Georgie Najjar from Strongsville, Ohio.
Yay.
It was from Alaska, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I thought, you know what? How is AR Alaska? I know, but it's...
AKA, yeah.
Oh, he just screwed it up. Yeah, Doug Bowman is from Little Rock, Arkansas. Marks Mitchell from Alaska. From Kingsland, Alaska. All righty.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. We appreciate all of you.
Oh, you're done, aren't you? You are toast, aren't you, dude?
I am.
Yeah, so is Sean. And for those of you guys that have made it through for the couple of hours, we cannot thank you enough. Listen, here's what we're doing. We're trying to raise $500 in new and monthly pledges for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift, and we appreciate the one-time gifts, or in newer monthly pledges totaling $100 over a 12-month period. You are going to receive free and postage paid the 6-CD series, The Mystery of Unbelief. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations. It's all explainable. Or just on the homepage, you can see the phone number of the office. Call Jeff, make your pledge. And as Greg Ambergy related earlier on the webcast, apparently you get your CDs now even before you make your pledge. All right, Mikey, great job.
Thanks, Glenn. You too. Love you guys and appreciate everybody.
Get some rest.
Yes, you too.
We want to thank you. We want to thank Greg for calling in from Mainville, Ohio. And keep on keeping on, Gregory. Our dearest brother, the king of comedy and the birthday boy this week, Richard Malf, Garden Grove, California. And Jeff Robertson calling from Lake Panasoffkee, Florida. Sean, you're the man with the plan. Thank you for your patience, your diligence, all your hard work, and your expertise. The producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire, please give it up for Sean O'Halloran. And we want to thank you guys for giving, for listening, and for participating in the Gospel Revolution. Carla, I cannot express to you the desire of tea and honey that I need, so get it ready on the stove, baby. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online. We'll do it again in 1 week's time. Shalom, everybody.